Bending Light, Chapter 14. Hermione tumbled out of a taxicab with Lavender and Blaze, alighting in Aquino's central square, which was larger and more open than San Cipriano's. They consulted the directions Lavender had carefully written down, and struck off up a narrow, winding lane until they came to a doorway with a small crowd gathered around it, talking and smoking. Hermione felt a dart of excitement. She'd never been to a club like this, and she'd always wanted to go. After a short conversation with a man at the door, they were admitted and then descended down a set of steep stairs to a dark, windowless expanse. There was a bar at one end of the room and a stage at the other. A few booths and niches lined the walls. Pillars dotted the main open area, and Hermione could see doorways that seemed to lead off to other, smaller rooms. It was all dimly lit by flickering candles and neon signs. The stage was still dark, and people were clustered in groups, chatter and laughter breaking out in intermittent burst.
"Drink, ladies,"
Blaze asked, gesturing towards the bar. "Yes, please," Lavender said, pivoting in a slow circle as she took it all in. Hermione added her thanks to Blaze as Lavender spoke again. "This place is cool. I'm so glad we came here." Hermione's eyes flashed. "Me too," Hermione said. She and Lavender followed Blaze to the bar and perched on some empty stools. Hermione asked for a beer and Lavender for something fruity. Hermione's eyes wandered the club. She didn't know if Theo and Draco were coming. She couldn't help but scan for them. Lavender, no doubt reading her mind, spoke up. "Is Draco coming?" she asked Blaze, as she took a glass from him.
"Not sure," he said. "I told him and he seemed interested, but who knows?"
He shrugged. "Theo seemed lukewarm on the idea." Lavender's eyes cut briefly to Hermione's. Hermione made a face, but hid it in her beer. She still hadn't had a chance to talk to Lavender in depth about what had happened with Theo in the Olive Grove, but Lavender knew the gist. Some people appeared on the tiny stage and began plugging things in and carrying instruments back and forth.
"Oh, that's Jeff!"
Lavender waved to a figure adjusting a stand microphone at the front of the stage. He peered through the darkness and jumped down, then wove through the crowd towards them. He was tall and thin, with artfully shaggy dark hair and a friendly face.
"Lavender, hey!" he said, waving. "And Blaze, right?"
"Yeah, man."
Blaze put out his hand and they shook.
"And this is our friend Hermione," Lavender said eagerly, her eyes bright.
Hermione said hello and, after a little unsupple manoeuvring from Lavender, fell into chatting with Jeff about the band and their tour. He was nice and interesting, but she didn't feel much of a spark. Also, as they were talking, Hermione gradually became aware of a group of girls gathering at the other end of the bar who were watching them intently. Although Jeff was modest, she gathered that the band had quite a following in America and wondered if these were some of their fans. After a bit, one of the girls approached and, after apologising profusely, in an American accent, Hermione noted, asked Jeff if her friends could have a picture with him. Hermione obligingly took the snap and Jeff took the opportunity to lope back up to the stage, giving her a quick wave as he went.
"Damn!" Lavender's voice sounded from behind Hermione's shoulder. "For a minute I thought that was going somewhere!"
Hermione whirled around and laughed.
"You are relentless!"
She pushed Lavender lightly on the arm.
"Not every encounter needs to end in making out. In fact, I feel strongly that I'll be able to tell someone someday that I met Jeff from Glass Houses at a little club in Italy, and it will give me a lot of credibility."
"Yeah, if that following is anything to go by."
Lavender lifted her chin at the group of girls, who had now migrated across the room to the front of the stage. Hermione's eyes followed the girls too. They were all tracking Jeff as he plugged things in and spoke to various people. How strange to have that kind of attention on you all the time. Hermione took a swig of her beer and looked away towards the doors, just as Draco walked through.
Her fingers slackened on her beer and she almost dropped it. Shit. He stood in the doorway for a moment, looking around, and Hermione took in his tall form, slim dark jeans, and black t-shirt and his leather motorcycle jacket. His bright hair swept back from his forehead. She took a sharp breath. Why did he have to be so fucking gorgeous? Why couldn't she put the blinders she'd worn for 6 years back on? He shrugged out of the jacket and took a step into the room. Hermione noticed the girls at the stage turning their heads towards him and jostling each other. They probably thought he was another rock star there to see the show. He certainly looked the part. At that moment, his gaze travelled to hers and they locked eyes. She felt a full body flash of heat and could have sworn his lips lifted slightly. Her heart fluttered. It was the warmest look he'd given her in days. Of course, then she was instantly annoyed with herself. She wasn't going to jump just because he decided to notice her again. Was she? She turned to Lavender and asked her something. Anything. Blaze's face brightened and he called out a greeting. Hermione could tell when Draco walked up because she could bloody smell him. Even over the bouquet of stale beer and musty underground that permeated the club. She turned halfway and murmured a polite greeting. He nodded at her and said hi to Lavender, then fell into conversation with Blaze. Hermione kept chatting with Lav but couldn't help but be hyper-aware of Draco's movements and proximity, even as she scolded herself for it. When the band took the stage, Hermione was grateful to have something else to focus on. Jeff walked to the mic and said a quick, "Hi, everyone," then looked at his bandmates and nodded once. At the signal, they launched into a loud and rolling tune, guitars leading and drums pounding. And when Jeff started singing, the girls in front screamed. Hermione smiled. She looked to the side and realised Draco was there next to her, smiling faintly too. His eyes cut briefly to hers, and she couldn't stop the warmth that flared in her cheeks. She hoped the darkness hid it. Turning her attention back to the music, she lost herself in a few songs. They were actually really good.
"They're really good," Lavender shouted in Hermione's ear a few moments later.
Hermione nodded and raised her beer.
"They're brilliant."
She noticed Blaze lean over and tap Draco, who bent down as Blaze said something in his ear. She was then hit in the chest by the force of Draco's full smile as he laughed at something Blaze had said.
"Fuck, fuck, fuck."
She resolutely turned her eyes away again. The band broke into another song, one which must have been popular, because the girls in the front screamed again and everyone started dancing and singing along. Lavender grabbed Hermione's hands and twirled her in a circle.
"Come on," she yelled suddenly, throwing them up towards the stage.
They joined the crowd of girls who widened their circle to let them in, all of them shouting the lyrics. Hermione lost herself in it, swaying and throwing her arms up, dancing with Lavender and then the girl who'd asked for the pitcher earlier. She quickly picked up the words to the chorus and started belting them out too. The song came to a crescendo and then an abrupt end, and the place erupted, everyone cheering and whistling. Hermione clapped and laughed up at Jeff, who caught her eye and winked down at her. Hermione felt a surge of elation so strong that it made her giddy. She reached over and half-hugged Lavender, who hugged her back. They stayed for a few more songs, dancing with their new friends until the tempo dropped for a slow number, and Lavender leaned over to Hermione to suggest another drink. Hermione nodded and they made their way to the back of the room. Draco and Blaze were still at the bar, sitting on the stools the girls had vacated. Lavender walked up to Blaze and slotted between his legs, looping her arms around his shoulders and giving him a slow kiss. Draco jumped up as Hermione approached, gesturing to the seat.
"You don't have to,"
Hermione broke off as he tilted his head again and gave her a look.
"Okay."
She half smiled and slid onto the stool.
"That looked fun."
Draco flicked his eyebrows as she settled herself.
"Yeah." She gave a little laugh, trying not to dwell on the fact that he'd been watching her.
It was. They're so good.
He nodded.
They are. Do you want a drink?
Yes, thanks. Just beer is fine.
Draco started to turn to the bar, but then froze, an angry look flashing over his face. He glanced quickly at Hermione and then at something over her shoulder. Hermione naturally turned to see what it was, and saw Theo stumbling down off the stairs with a girl. They were stumbling because they were kissing, looking for all the world as if they were about to tumble into bed, rather than a bar. She heard Lavender's voice low in her ear.
Bloody hell, Theo.
Hermione watched. Theo pressed the girl up against the wall of the club and trapped her. His hands and mouth were everywhere. She was laughing, but pushed weakly at him until eventually he pulled back, laughing too. He looked drunk, his movements loose and unsteady. Hermione felt her eyes widening at the scene, which filled her with distaste more than anything. At that moment, Theo turned to face the club and saw her, his cheeks darkening and then his eyes darting to Draco standing over her. He blinked once and then swung his attention back to his date, leaning down to kiss her again. Hermione blew out a breath and faced back to the bar, catching Lavender's eye and raising her brows. Lavender shook her head once and turned her attention back to Blaze. Hermione could feel Draco's gaze on her, so she chanced to look up at him. His face was now creased into an expression of concern. He took a breath and opened his mouth. Hermione cut in quickly.
"How about that beer?" she asked with a bright smile.
His features relaxed as he took in her demeanour.
"Of course," he said, signalling the barman, who came over and after a brief exchange pulled out two cold bottles.
"Thanks," Hermione said, taking a deep pull off of hers. "So, how are you liking your first live Muggle music show?"
"Quite a lot."
He leaned against the bar next to her and shot her a half smile.
"I think I could do it too."
"Do what?" she asked, confused.
"Play in a band like that. I could do at least as well on the keyboard as Airbloc."
"What?"
Hermione was suddenly swamped with an incredibly compelling vision of Draco up on stage. She tried, unsuccessfully, to ignore it.
"Yeah."
He looked up at the band, who had finished the set and were making their way for the next act. Hermione took a breath, a smile tugging at the corner of her mouth despite her attempts to suppress it.
The arrogance!
Just as she was about to tell Draco what she thought of him, she caught a movement over his shoulder.
"Hiya, chaps!"
Theo had planted himself behind them, his expression oddly belligerent. A girl was at his side, pretty with shiny black hair, her fingers entwined with Theo's. Hermione twisted on her stool.
"Hi,"
she said, nodding at both of them. She heard Draco murmur a greeting. Blaze and Lavender also turned around.
"Francesca? Chaps. Chaps. Francesca," Theo said, waving his hand back and forth.
Hermione noticed a slight slur to his words.
"Hi, I'm Hermione. It's very nice to meet you," she said in Italian, holding out her hand.
Francesca took it with a sweet smile. Lavender echoed the greeting and held out her hand as well, then also introduced Blaze and Draco. Theo seemed to have tuned out of the little scene, his head turned and his gaze roaming around the room. They stood in awkward silence for a moment, until Hermione couldn't stand it any longer.
"Are you enjoying the music?" she asked, still in Italian, fully aware that Theo and Francesca hadn't been paying attention to it.
"Brilliant, yeah,"
Theo said, flipping back around and switching to English.
"Need a drink, though. What would you like, love?"
Francesca looked at him blankly, and he started, then asked the question in Italian. She answered, and Theo moved them down the bar and out of range. Hermione caught a look passing between Blaze and Draco, just as Lavender shrugged at her.
Hermione shrugged back, trying to avoid the conclusion that classified Theo's actions as a reaction to what had happened between them. That didn't seem very charitable to Francesca somehow. She shook her head and refocused, noticing that someone had appeared on stage and was announcing the next act.
Come on, let's go out into the crowd again.
Lavender had jumped up, tugging Blaze with her. Her bright gaze darted from Hermione to Draco too. Draco nodded and Hermione slid off her stool. She looked around for Theo, not wanting to leave him out, but he and Francesca had disappeared, so she took Lavender's hand and let herself be pulled into the throng closer to the stage. Their little group stopped just before the section she and Lavender had been in before. Lavender leaned against Blaze and his arm slid around her middle. Hermione could feel Draco standing behind her, the impression of his form just visible as she turned her head to the side. She was highly, viscerally aware of him there, his movements, his presence. She let her mind just briefly entertain the idea of what it would be like to lean against him too, have his arms wrap around her. But then she steeled herself against the vision and refocused on the stage, just as the new band bounded across it. Glass houses must have been popular in America, but this second act seemed to be local and have a passionate following, because a huge cheer went up the second they appeared, and the crowd, which had been standing loosely with a good bit of distance between groups, suddenly tightened and surged towards the stage. Lavender gave a whoop and grinned at Hermione as they were swept forward a few steps. Hermione made an excited face back, instantly aware of Draco much closer behind her now. She could bloody smell him again, and it would only take the tiniest step back to touch him. She took a deep breath and willed her attention back to the stage. The new band was louder and much faster, and people around them started jumping and dancing, yelling the words to almost every song. It was highly entertaining, and Hermione let herself get lost in it, trying to pick up the words and bouncing up and down with Lavender to some of the dancier bits. Blaze was grinning up at the stage, and she even chanced a quick glance behind her to see Draco with a half-smile too. He saw her looking at him and flicked his brows to the keyboardist. Hermione couldn't help but laugh, and then blush after she turned around again. Band moved from the first song directly into another. This one had a faster, driving beat that seemed to immediately roil the crowd. The group just in front of the stage started swirling in a loose circle, their movements reckless and violent. Hermione felt a pulse of nervousness, and her fingers spasmed, wishing for her wand. She glanced at Lavender, who was whispering something to Blaze, then mouthed back in a mo to Hermione, before she turned and started making her way out of the crowd. Blaze followed her, and Hermione thought she might do the same. She was turning to say something to Draco, when suddenly a body came out of nowhere, flailing straight towards her. She threw her hand out, and her beer bottle was knocked away, but the body was still hurtling into her. Time seemed to slow down, and Hermione had a second of real fear before she felt an arm wrap around her midsection and pull her back and around. She grabbed the arm reflexively, fingers gripping its corded strength, as she was pulled off her feet and against a solid warmth behind her. She also felt the jostling impact of the body as it hit Draco instead of herself. Her feet hit the floor again, and still looking down, Hermione loosened her fingers from their death grip, brushing them across his skin, as if to feel that he was still there, and she was still in one piece. She took a deep, shuddering breath. Sound, which had gone away for a beat, seemed to rush back.
Bloody hell!
Draco's voice was strained and angry, coming from somewhere near her right ear.
Are you all right?
He continued, his tone much softer. Hermione clasped his arm again and looked up at him over her shoulder. He bent his head to look down at her at the same time, and she pulled in a quick breath at how close their faces were. She had an overwhelming urge to twist in his arms,
throw her arms around his neck and bury her face in his collar. Instead, she blinked twice.
I'm fine. Thank you, though.
She still hadn't let go of him, and he was still holding her tightly, palms splayed against the bare skin at her stomach. His eyes stayed on hers, and time seemed to slow again. His glance dropped to her lips, and Hermione felt them part. She took a sharp breath in, which she knew he could feel. His eyes flipped back to hers, and a slight crease appeared between them, before he looked around at the still roiling crowd.
"Let's get out of here," he said tersely,
sliding his arm from around her but keeping a tight grip on her waist as he led them through the tightly packed bodies. But once they were free of the worst of it and near the side of the room, he stepped away. Hermione instantly missed him.
"Thanks," she said again.
He leaned against the wall, his arms tucked behind him, eyes hooded. Hermione had another urge, this time to press herself against him, run her fingers into his hair, kiss him the way she'd kissed Theo. Although it would be different. She swayed in place and looked back at him, just as the moment stretched. Her hands started up, but then abruptly she spun and pushed her shoulders against the wall next to him, reminding herself that he'd been avoiding her and cool to her lately. He'd only touched her out of necessity and had let her go as soon as they were free of the danger. She took a deep breath, eyes roving unseeingly over the churning crowd. She couldn't let the heightened emotions of the moment fool her into thinking anything more was going on. Chancing a quick look over, she saw that he was looking at her too, that crease back between his eyes.
"Hey!"
Suddenly, Lavender came out of nowhere, Blaze close behind her.
"Here you are,"
she said, eyes darting between Hermione and Draco.
"Is everything all right? Did you get away from that mad dancing they were doing?"
"Moshing," Hermione said faintly.
"What-ing?"
Lavender's face was confused. Blaze stepped around her and said a quiet word to Draco.
"It's what they call the thing that they were doing. The dancing in the circle with the pushing and shoving. I'd heard of it, but never experienced it in real life before."
Hermione shrugged.
"And I'm fine, thanks to Draco."
The corner of her mouth lifted, but she wasn't smiling. Lavender darted her speaking look, and Hermione shook her head slightly.
"Well, Blaze and I were talking about going and getting something to eat. There's supposed to be a good late-night place a couple of streets over," Lavender said. "Don't know where the bloody hell Theo got to, but do you want to come?"
Hermione wasn't hungry, and she was suddenly very tired.
"Not really," she said. "I think I'd rather just go back to the flat. I'll get a taxi."
"No, not alone," Lavender fretted. "It's late. Blaze and I will ride back to San Cipriano with you and eat there."
"No."
Hermione put her hand towards Lavender.
"I can give you a lift."
Draco's soft words cut through their exchange.
"Oh?"
Hermione looked to him in surprise.
"Would you, Draco? What a fantastic idea."
Lavender's face lit up like a fucking Christmas tree. Draco lifted a brow at her, and then his eyes cut back to Hermione.
"As long as you don't mind riding on the bike."
Hermione swallowed.
"No, I don't mind,"
her mouth said, even as her brain threw 100 yellow flags onto the field.
"I don't mind," she said, so softly that Draco saw the words more than heard them.
What the fuck was he doing? Basically inviting her to press her body against him, wrap her arms and legs around him. Was he insane? It had been very difficult to let her go just now. He'd had to pin his hands behind him to keep them from reaching for her again. And now he was just asking her to... His fingers tightened around the beer bottle he was somehow still holding. This whole night, from her face when she'd seen him walk in, to her teasing smile when they talked about the band, to the fucking delightful picture she had presented dancing with Lavender, to the warmth of her body in his arms,
had been a sore trial to all facets of his self-control. And now he was just throwing it all in the bin. Fucking fuck.
Are you ready?
Draco's frustration made his words a little curt, and she blinked before she said yes. He could barely focus on the flurry of goodbyes with Blaze and Lavender, and it seemed that in the blink of an eye he was walking her up to the quiet street. Every shadowy doorway and wall seemed to issue an invitation to pull her into it, push her against it, kiss her, touch her. Oh, how he wanted to! He flexed his hand.
Well, her bright voice cut through the silence of the night and his frantic thoughts. Aside from almost getting my nose broken there at the end, that was brilliant. Thanks again for saving me.
She gave him such a funny little smile that he truly almost lost his battle with his will.
Of course.
He looked away deliberately.
I'm parked just up here.
They rounded a bend and the bike came into view, gleaming black in the dim streetlights.
I've never been on one before, she said in a slightly nervous voice as they approached.
No?
He glanced at her, surprised.
Yeah, my parents are pretty, opposed.
She grimaced slightly.
Ah, some muggles consider them quite dangerous, correct?
Yes.
Her grimace deepened.
Oh shit,
Draco snapped his fingers.
Speaking of, I only have one helmet.
Oh.
Her face pulled down in disappointment.
Maybe I should get that cab.
No,
he said quickly, again surprising himself. He should be taking the chance out of this.
You can just wear it and I'll go without.
You need to be able to see, though.
She stepped closer to him, a little frown between her eyes. His fingers twitched, wanting to reach out and smooth it.
I have goggles.
He stepped back.
And I'll cast a stronger protection charm on them than I usually do. You won't be able to go fast, but that's fine.
Okay.
She still sounded nervous.
If you're sure...
I wouldn't want you to have to tell your parents you rode on a motorcycle without a helmet.
He gave her a half smile. Her face smoothed out and she laughed.
Okay.
Draco pulled the helmet off the bike and handed it to her. She shook her hair back and eased it over her head, then looked up at him.
Does it look right?
Almost, he said,
taking the excuse to look into her beautiful eyes, which crinkled a little in question. He reached up. A curl had escaped her careful placement and was peeking out near the front of the helmet. He meant to tuck it back quickly, just so it wouldn't whip in her face when they got up to speed. But instead he rubbed his thumb over it, feeling his lips lift.
A stray, he said softly.
He could barely see her mouth, but her eyes widened. He blinked and let the strand go. Fuck was he doing?
Thanks, she said, her voice quiet.
Draco stayed looking at her for a moment and then stepped back, sliding the goggles over his head. He was really determined to make this whole thing harder on himself, wasn't he?
Right.
He attempted a brisk tone.
You should probably wear this too.
He indicated to the leather jacket slung over his arm. She instantly started to protest.
Oh, no, Draco, I'll be fine. It's warm and...
Draco felt his brows go up.
I'm not trying to make a commentary on the abbreviated nature of anything you're wearing,
he cut in, trying not very hard to suppress a smile.
But there's much less to your top than mine.
He should know. He'd been admiring it. Or maybe more accurately, it was revealed. Or night. She looked down at the tiny, black, strappy thing, and then back up at him. There was a kind of helpless resignation in her eyes.
Okay, she sighed, holding out her hand.
He gave her a look, then moved around behind her and held the jacket out for her arm. He was Narcissa Malfoy's son, after all.
Oh,
She gave a startled movement, blinked, then slid her hand into one soft leather sleeve, then the other.
"Thank you."
"Of course," he murmured.
He noticed her take a deep breath once the jacket was settled around her shoulders, looking huge on her smaller frame. She ran her hands up the sides of the sleeves.
"It's so soft."
He inclined his head, then stepped closer to the bike and slung his leg over the saddle. He hitched himself forwards and then looked over his shoulder. She was standing there, still hugging her upper arms, a rather glazed expression on her face.
"Okay," he said. "Hop on."
She approached gingerly, put her hands on the seat and scrambled on, ending up perched behind him, but not quite touching him.
"Is this right?" she asked.
He straightened up and looked back at her. She was so close, but at least there was a giant helmet in the way.
"Looks good,"
he nodded.
"You can hold the seat sort of below and behind you, but I think that might feel precarious once we get going. If you want to hold my waist around the middle, it's fine."
"Just fine."
"Right.
Brilliant." She nodded quickly and moved her hands to the seat.
"And when we turn, lean with me. That's important, even though it might feel strange."
She nodded again and Draco nodded back, then turned around and struck down on the pedal starter. The engine leapt to life and he revved it until it was purring smoothly.
"Here we go,"
he called as they took off. They wound their way through the streets of Aquino, Draco going slowly and getting used to the feel of another body on the bike. It definitely made a difference in steering and acceleration, but he soon acclimated. It was very much like taking someone up on a broom. Hermione did well with the leaning, although she stayed mostly not touching him, keeping her hands behind her and her a good inch between her thighs. Though Draco could feel the little points of contact, like pulses of heat when they went over bumps or around turns.
"This is fun," she called after a bit. "I feel so much more a part of things."
He turned his head to the side.
"Exactly."
They were approaching the turnoff from the town streets onto the motorway, so he brought them to a gliding stop.
"We'll be going faster now," he said,
gesturing to the wider straight road.
"Get ready."
"Okay," she called.
He pulled out and twisted the throttle, the sudden burst of speed giving him the giddy feeling he associated only with this and flying, although he was careful not to accelerate too quickly, or at least not as quickly as he usually did. He still heard a squeak from behind him right at the same moment her arms flew around his middle and her front pitched against his back. He had to admit that it was fucking thrilling.
"Are you all right?"
Draco yelled and felt her nod. He turned his attention back to the road, making his way extremely carefully without dipping below the advised speed. Once they were going, the warm air rushed past them and no other traffic in sight. He let himself relax. And feel. Feel the way her palm was curled around the side of his waist, her warm body soft against his back, the long line of her inner thigh against his leg. God, it was intimate. He was so fucking turned on. He wondered how it felt to her. He could sense her looking around, her little shifts in weight and pressure. At one point her hand sort of spasmed against his midsection, and it felt almost like a caress. His breath quickened and he forced himself to think of bland things, although it didn't work very well. All too soon the turn to San Cipriano appeared, and they were back on the slower, winding streets. She didn't let go of him, though. Finally the turn to her street appeared, and they pulled up in front of her flat. He stopped the bike, letting it idle, and twisted half around. She was pulling the helmet off and shaking out her hair, her eyes bright.
"What did you think?"
he asked, cutting the engine.
"Oh, Draco."
The most beautiful, blinding smile transformed her features. That was brilliant.
He felt his own smile emerge. He couldn't help it.
You liked it?
I loved it.
She started to swing off the bike, one hand still around his waist, gripping him tightly, which he enjoyed. She seemed to notice at the same moment what she was doing and quickly pulled away. She was also still holding the helmet. She looked down at it and took a deep breath before looking back up at him.
Listen, she said, her words tumbling over each other. It's not that late. Would you like to come up for a glass of wine or beer or something? I'm sure Lavender and Blaze aren't far behind us.
He looked at her, standing there with her hair slightly wild and her face hopeful, and knew in his bones that he should say no. There was no way he was going up there alone with her and succeeding in keeping his distance.
I can't come up tonight, he said,
trying to pull together the shreds of his self-preservation. Then her face fell, and he couldn't bear it.
But, he continued quickly, I still owe you a longer ride, and a lesson.
Well, so much for that.
Oh, right. She blinked several times.
What are you doing tomorrow?
He asked, his inner voice screaming at his outer one to shut the fuck up.
Nothing. And no plans. I have a shift at the cafe, but it's a closing one. I don't start until 6.
I'm off too. Would you like to go up to the monastery?
The actual fuck. Really?
She gave a little bounce, and it was adorable.
I mean, brilliant. That's cool. Yeah, I would like to.
He'd done it now. For fuck's sake.
Here, at, say, 11 o'clock, then? I'll find a way to get you a helmet.
She nodded, then paused. Actually, I have to run by the cafe in the morning. Why don't I just walk over to yours after?
That works.
He started the bike up again so that he wouldn't be tempted to do something really idiotic, like kiss her goodnight.
Until tomorrow, then.
He could hear his words were clipped. He was angry with himself, but didn't want to take it out on her, so he tried for a smile.
Until then, she said, smiling back. Oh, and you better have this.
She handed him the helmet.
And this.
She started shrugging out of the jacket.
Thanks. And you should wear a jacket tomorrow too, even if it's warm. It will be cooler at the higher elevation.
He pulled the helmet down over his face and slung the jacket on. It was instantly enveloped in her scent. He cursed inwardly, but also breathed in deeply.
Good night, Hermione.
Good night, she said.
He could feel her watching him as he rode away.